Come on. Welcome to Money Savage, a savage approach to personal finance. This is George Grumbacher, and the time is right. Welcome to today's guest, a strong and powerful Scott McKillop. Scott, are you ready to do this?
I am ready to do this, George.
Excellent. Let's do this. Scott is the CEO of Ascent Asset Management. He's an industry veteran, a JD, a speaker, and a writer. I'm excited to have you on. Scott, tell us a little bit about your personal life, some more about your work, and why you do what you do.
Okay. Personal life, I live here in Denver, Colorado, so I like to climb mountains. I've climbed, I think, 30 mountains that are over 14,000 feet in height, including nice. Mount Kilimanjaro at 19,000 plus. So I love to get outside. I'm still a guitar player after all these years. I took lessons from Jerry Garcia back in the day when I was growing up in the San Francisco Bay Area, and still to this day love to play the guitar. And I have a wonderful wife and four kids, and life couldn't be better. So that's kind of sums up my personal life. On the work side, First Ascent is a kind of a labor of love for me. I've been in the asset management business for over 25 years now, and providing outsourced portfolio management services to financial advisors. And I guess about 3 years ago, I got a handful of ideas that I thought could make a difference in our industry. And so I formed First Ascent and started a firm that's really dedicated to try to provide outsourced portfolio management services to financial advisors in a kind of a different and hopefully better way than it's been done in the past.
Got it. I love it. So what does a guitar lesson from Jerry Garcia look like? Is he just, is he advertising at a coffee shop saying guitar lessons, or how does that start?
Yeah, that was kind of an interesting story. I actually went to down to the local guitar store to take lessons from somebody. There was a guitar teacher named Troy Weidenbacher, who nobody has ever heard of to this day, but he was the hot guitar teacher in Menlo Park, Palo Alto area where I grew up. And went down, and the folks at the guitar store said, "Nope, sorry, there's no way you can take from Troy. He's totally booked up." But we got this other guy, and I said, "Well, who's that?" He pointed. He was actually sitting in the guitar store. I still remember it, a metal folding chair, and he was playing this beautiful Guild 12-string guitar, and he was scary looking. You know, because back in those days, you know, there weren't that many people that had long hair, and he had this kind of black wiry hair and about 5 days of growth, and I thought, that's kind of a scary looking dude, but he sure does know how to play the guitar. So,
right.
So I signed up and took lessons from him for a while. That was kind of fun. That was before the Grateful Dead and all that. So to me, he was just kind of a local, scary looking dude.
Sure.
Who really knew how to play the guitar.
So awesome.
It was fun.
I love it.
Yep.
All right. So these ideas that you referenced, you had these ideas that you thought could make a difference.
Yep.
Tell us about those.
Yeah, well, the first one, the most obvious one that kind of sets us apart is that we provide our services on a flat fee basis. So pretty much every asset manager on the planet today charges a percentage of assets under management for their fees. And in our business, that just didn't make sense to me. The more the more I thought about it, I didn't have a good explanation for why $1 million account was paying so much more than $100,000 account, because the work involved from our perspective was really the same, given the technology that's available to manage portfolios. So so we just initiated a $500 flat fee, $500 per year per account, to manage the portfolio. So it's still, I think, we're the only asset management firm out there doing that. But that seemed like a good way to try to provide asset management services at a reasonable price to financial advisors and their clients, and make outsourcing more affordable to those who wanted to take advantage of it. So that was kind of idea number one, and that's certainly drawn a lot of attention.
I think that makes all the sense in the world to me. I do a lot of work with 401k plans, and I always kind of thought, well, if I have a plan that has 10 employees, 10 high income earning people, that has $500,000 in assets this year, and then 5 years from now there's $2 million, I'm still going to be doing the same amount of work. Why would I charge, exponentially more. So
yeah,
I think we're reading off the same script. Why is it that you're the only folks that have sort of caught on to that? Is it greed? Well, is it just legacy costs?
I think it's a combination of things. So, you know, I've been in financial services. I was a lawyer before I started in the asset management business, but I was in the financial services part of the business. So for over 40 years, I never questioned this, you know, percentage of assets under management fee schedule. So I think a lot of it is just momentum. I mean, I was actually embarrassed a little bit when I started thinking about it and realized that there was a different, what I thought was a better way to do this, that I hadn't thought of it earlier. You know, it seems so obvious at a certain level, but I think the main reason is just that, it's just momentum, but certainly greed is something that keeps it in place. I mean, I've talked to a lot of our competitors and other people in the asset management business, and they secretly love what we're doing and they applaud us. They think the concept is great, but they're not happy about the possibility that they would have to actually respond to that sort of competition down the road. So we're still a little bit too small, I think, to scare anybody into changing, but who knows? That'll change maybe.
Got it. Nice. All right. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other idea that was one that took maybe a little bit more complicated was, you know, I looked around. I've been in a lot of investment committees over my career. First Ascent's actually the fifth asset management firm that I've been with. And I watched a couple things that just didn't make sense to me. One was the way people were building and managing portfolios. You know, we were kind of taking the Harry Markowitz modern portfolio theory and trying to apply it in the real world in a way that just didn't make sense. You know, Markowitz's theory is wonderful, but in order to make it work, you need to know three things. You need to know the future expected returns, risks, and correlations of all the asset classes that you're using. And the problem is nobody actually knows what those numbers are. And so we keep, kind of guessing and doing a lot of work to try to find the right numbers. And nobody is really sure what those are. And they can turn out to be very far off from our estimates. And yet people are constantly rebalancing their portfolios and adding new asset classes to their portfolios and so forth to try to get this theoretically optimal portfolio to be just perfect. But in real life, what ends up happening is you end up with lots of positions in portfolios, which means lots of trading costs, and the rebalancing and so forth that goes on with the construction of those results in more trading costs as well. So we developed what we call elegantly simple portfolio construction approach, which really tries to recognize that broadly diversified portfolios are a good thing, but you can build those very cheaply with relatively few positions. It doesn't require a lot of ongoing trading and rebalancing. And so what we try to do is just keep the internal expenses low, keep the number of positions low, keep the trading costs low, and build good long-term portfolios with basically simple portfolio construction that doesn't require a lot of the more high-priced asset classes. It doesn't require a lot of the trading that goes on and so forth. So we start, by our estimate, we start every year with somewhere in the neighborhood of about a 1% performance advantage over a lot of our competitors just by keeping the costs low in our portfolios.
I have to imagine, it seems to me that there are so many layers of complexity, whether sort of like the first idea, it's just a matter of momentum that everybody's trying to now build a more sophisticated mousetrap than last year. This is nefarious and it's confusing, but I think that most people do appreciate simplicity.
Exactly. And our industry is notorious for trying to inject complexity into whether it's products or portfolio construction or whatever. It's just, it's a way of trying to, I think, really trying to look smart and sophisticated and impress people. But what ends up happening really is it just ends up creating a lot of expense. And you can just look historically and see, That's what I did. I just finally, you know, I said, hey, let me see if this stuff is really adding value. And when I looked at it, you know, the answer was not usually. You know, every so often somebody will get lucky, and you know, something that they do will pay off for a while. But a lot of the complexity that's in our industry is really just designed to sell product and mask what's really going on, which is, you know, people are trying to sell a lot of product and make a lot of money, and they do it at the expense of performance in the portfolios. We thought so. We took a different path.
Right. Yeah. Nice. Well, I appreciate that. And we all know that cost is what you pay and value is what you get. But if the cost is a lot higher and there's not a lot of value, then then you just bought a crappy thing.
Yeah, you did. And unfortunately, there's just too much of that out there. You know, once again, it was kind of like the fee thing. I thought, well, you know, somebody's going to do something about that someday. Might as well be us. So so we incorporated that elegantly simple portfolio construction into our process. It's worked really well.
I like it. It's a great name.
Yeah. Yeah.
I saw one of your blog posts talked about asking the question, is asset management commoditized? And
yeah.
I feel like that's sort of along this line.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's, you know, it's something that, you know, pundits, you know, will say that now, you know, I think it's especially since the robo-advisors came along, you know, there's this kind of idea that somehow asset management has become commoditized and that you can just kind of whip together a portfolio, whether it's using algorithms or, you know, just throwing some ETFs in a portfolio and come up with basically the same portfolio as anybody else is going to come up with. But if you really, you know, if you dig down and do the research, there's a lot of differences. You know, even firms that are trying to do essentially the same thing, let's just say, build really straightforward, globally diversified ETF portfolios. You know, you can get pretty dramatic performance differences in those portfolios. And then when you add to that, you know, the components of active management and so forth, you really do get a lot of dispersion among asset managers and even products within the same asset class category. So it's not, you know, it's not a commodity at all, really, because it makes a difference how you build portfolios and how you put things together and which products you use and so forth. So I think there's, at least in our view, there's still a lot of skill required and work required in order to, you know, build decent portfolios. And if you get into the trap of thinking that asset management is commoditized and you don't have to really think too much about it or worry, you know, who you're working with, I think you're headed down a dangerous path.
Got it. Makes sense.
Yeah.
So for people who are listening, I think they're going to say, well, this definitely makes sense. And you start peeling back all these different layers of complexity, and I guess I'm going to ask two questions at the same time and let you try to
sure sort through them. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Well, you sort of sort through my brain here. What are really the most important elements to being a good investor, to investing, and should we really be paying attention to financial media?
Good questions. There are really two parts of the good investing question, I think. You know, there is, as you could tell from my comments about commoditization of asset management, you know, there is a lot of work and skill that can go into portfolio construction. So, I think we have to be pretty dedicated to doing the work, doing the research, you know, making sure that we're controlling the cost of the portfolios, but also just the quality of the investment management organizations that we work with and so forth. So there's a lot of work there. But the other side of it is the behavioral side of it, which I think is much harder to deal with, because each of us, whether it's financial advisors or certainly our clients, are influenced by this myriad of behavioral characteristics, which the behavioral finance community has identified. And this is, I think, the toughest part for asset managers and the toughest part for financial advisors is to try to recognize and deal with those behavioral issues and really try to manage, coach the clients, if you will, through the ups and downs of financial markets and really kind of be available to not just answer their factual questions, but actually deal with the underlying emotional issues which are driving those questions. And so that's a really hard and really important part of our industry. And I think financial advisors are on the front line of that for sure. You know, people like us, the asset managers, you know, we're kind of back at headquarters, you know, hearing right. about it all, but, you know, financial advisors are really on the front line of that. But then, you know, then that kind of leads into your second question, which is, should we be, you know, paying attention to the financial media? And there, I think, you know, it's kind of a mixed answer. You know, it's not really a yes or no, question. I think you have to be very selective about what you pay attention to. You know, in our industry, we have so many publications right now. You know, we have lots of online publications. We have hard copy publications or, you know, newspapers, magazines, blogs everywhere. You know, it's just, you know, there's a ton of information. And I think the industry has to fill up all of those channels every day. And as a result, there aren't that many important things to know, you know, so we get a lot of articles that are, I think, kind of fluffy and kind of
right.
dramatic, you know, try to, you know, it's almost like, you know, they try to grab attention with these kind of outrageous statements and claims and so forth. And so there's a lot of misinformation out there, just really plain, flat out bad information that's floating around out there. So I think, you know, rather than answering the question, you know, should we pay attention, yes or no, I think it's more incumbent on all of us to just be very selective about what we pay attention to. And again, kind of guard against those behavioral issues we were talking about, because, you know, we're just like our clients in the sense that we have all those same behavioral characteristics, you know, the professionals in the business do as well as the clients. And so we can be led astray or agitated or, you know, moved to action by the outrageous claims, or even not so outrageous, but just plain flat out wrong information that's floating around out there.
We all do have brains.
Yeah, we do. And they never turn off. That's part of our problem is we can't stop them.
But what I don't know if you realized it or not, Scott, but there's no room for nuance in today's culture. So it's a binary yes or no.
Yeah, right, I think that's, you know, that's part of the problem that we deal with, right? That's certainly part of the problem. You know, people don't want to take the time to think things through, but that's a whole nother topic, right?
Yes. So how do people access your portfolios?
You can get in touch with us directly. I mean, probably the best way, if you're interested in our firm, the best thing to do is to go to our website, which is First Ascent AM. That stands for asset management. So firstascentam.com. And just take a look. We actually make a lot of use of videos. So you can meet our team. You can hear about our investment philosophy. You can hear the story of how our company got started. You can read a lot about our firm. And then, you know, of course, we have a contact us tab there. And if you like what you see, you can get in touch with us and find out more. We're pretty easy, approachable group. And if you just want to maybe a demonstration of the technology that we use, we've developed some pretty cool technology to help people open accounts and generate proposals. So that's all done online, pretty quick and easy. And then you can learn about our portfolios and about the team behind the portfolios and make a decision about whether you think we're a good match for what you're doing.
Excellent. Well, Scott, Savage Nation is ready for your difference-making tip. What do you have for them?
Well, I think, so this is what I would say. I would say that all of us are creative beings, and we have this energy in us, which is, you know, it's got to be expressed in some manner or another. You know, I use my guitar in part for the expression of my creative energy, but I realized at some point in my career that what I do in business and is also part of my expression of my creative, you know, inner energies. And I think, so if everybody just kind of looks at what's going on, you know, the urges and the feelings that they have about what they're doing and really tries to get in touch with those, you know, you'll actually be a happier person. You know, we got, again, going back to the media thing, we've got so many people telling us what to do and what technology to employ and how we need to build our firms and, manage our practices and so forth. And, you know, I think people just need to kind of get in touch with who they are, especially financial advisors, because they are their own brand. You know, they're face to face with their clients, and they need to be comfortable with who they are and pursue the activities and the parts of this profession that they're really interested in, and you know, make decisions about how they build their practice to really satisfy those creative energies they have. So recognize your creative energies and go with them. I think that's my tip.
Oh, I think that is great stuff. That definitely gets a come on. Well, Savage Nation, if you enjoyed this as much as I did, show Scott your appreciation and share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. And it is First Ascent Asset Management. I left out the first in your introduction, so I apologize about that. And it's firstascentam.com, and I'll also list that in the notes of the show. Thank you again, Scott.
Hey, thank you very much, George. I really appreciate having the opportunity to come and be on your podcast. Thanks a lot.
You bet. And until next time, keep fighting the good fight, because we are all in this together. What's up, Savage Nation? Please support the show by subscribing, leave us a review, and definitely feel free to share us with somebody you think would like it. Come on!